My name is John Shipton. I'm Julian Assange's father. And for the last 3.5 years, I've been on the road in Europe and America and Australia, attempting to catalyse support for Julian and extend the support that's there. We have to date been relatively successful. If you take the support in Western parliaments as a measure of an underlying upswell within the populations of those countries, then that measure, that barometer, would indicate that there's vast support for Julian.
Yeah, but the trouble is, he's still in jail. Can you just take us through? I mean, it's been what must be over a decade now, because he was actually under house arrest in a family home, wasn't he, for quite a long time before he was actually jailed?
Well, you know, I characterise the treatment of Julian by the Crown Prosecuting Service and the Foreign Office and the Swedish Prosecuting Authority as a carousel of cruelty extending over a period of 13 years. So now it's over 1,000 days that Julian has been in Belmarsh Maximum Security Prison. It's the UK's Guantanamo Bay. All the while being a publisher and on remand. So as you can get from that simple relationship, that simple drawing a relationship of tremendous tension between on remand, innocent publisher, and housed in Belmarsh Maximum Security Prison, that is an indicator or a pointer to what has happened over these last 13 years of manipulation and malice and smearing and unscrupulous scam, that slander. So, you know, the whole, the characterization of a carousel where it goes past and you see yet another cruelty. I can point them all out to you. One that stands out to me these days is that often politicians and commentators have said that Julian can leave the embassy whenever he likes. Nils Melzer, the United Nations rapporteur on torture, has characterized that as leaving a lifeboat into a pool of sharks. However, I would go a touch further than that and indicate to you that the freedom of information successes that Stefania Merizzi had with the Crown Prosecuting Service indicate that there's a conspiracy, or was a conspiracy, between the Crown Prosecuting Service and the Swedish Prosecuting Authority to keep Julian in the embassy. That's what their intention was. I'll repeat that, to keep Julian in the embassy. Secondly, in the court case in Madrid, the capital of Spain, over UC Global, who were the supposed security firm employed to look after security of Julian and the embassy, emails indicate that they were intent upon keeping Julian in the embassy. And those emails give instructions to the security employees at the embassy to ensure that doors are locked, to ensure that Julian can't go near the front door and that the back door was double bolted. Now, this indicates to you an intention to keep Julian Assange, an innocent man who has achieved asylum under the conventions of asylum, taking up that asylum, and the Swedish Prosecuting Authority and the Crown Prosecuting Service conspiring to bring ruin to the convention of asylum that Julian Assange exists under.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, Julian did actually skip bail, didn't he? And he was awarded, I think it was in 2020 or 2021. He was supposed to do, I believe, 50 weeks in jail. It may have been suspended or something, but, you know, that he was found, it was found against him that he had skipped bail.
That can only be found against Julian if the Crown Prosecuting Service and the judges in the judiciary are willing to overlook the United Kingdom being a signatory and one of the principal authors of the 1958 Conventions of Asylum that Julian took up. It's a procedure. It's not something you just declare and say, I'm an asylee. It's a procedure. It's an international procedure under the auspices of the United Nations and the Conventions of Asylum, which were ratified in the United Nations General Assembly in 1973, the authors of it being amongst them, being the United Kingdom, and the presenter in 1973 being Australia. It's not a joke. You cannot simplify the abrogation of non-derogatable rights by simply saying that the judiciary, in its unwisdom, ignored its responsibilities to an international convention.
Also, this week, the attorneys, the lawyers for Julian Assange have been given leave to appeal to the Supreme Court. Is that something that you welcome?
Yes. I mean, you know, these interminable court cases, I think I tried to count up in my memory how many judges that Julian has appeared before. I think now the number is 17. A few of them, in Lord Chief Justice Burnett and Lord Justice Holroyd. Holroyd has appeared before three times and Burnett twice. So 17 judges now in an interminable number of court cases. Anything that gets closer to the actuality of Julian's non-derogatable human rights under Article 3 is to be welcomed. It must be clear to everybody that the manipulations of the Crown Prosecuting Service and the Department of Justice advisors to the Crown Prosecuting Service to make this a matter of Julian's mental health and character, to make this a matter of Julian's mental health and physical health, indicates to us that it's a means, a canard, to lead us away from the actuality of what Julian released. And that is war crime upon war crime upon murder in Afghanistan, in Guantanamo Bay, and in Iraq. That's the actuality. They want us to look at left when the horror, the criminality, the actual criminality, because as you remember, Iraq war was an illegal war embarked upon over fakery. That, you know, for you remember 45 minutes to a bomb to get to blow up London. Just absurd. You know, the other day I saw fleetingly as I was at a friend's place, Tony Blair standing on a pyramid of skulls in a sea of blood saying we should stay in Afghanistan and not leave. Can you believe this sort of thing, Tony? That a man who just simply publishes what you publish, what the New York Times publish, Washington Post, Guardian, Der Spiegel, The Times, The Sydney Morning Herald, The Age, the Le Monde, El Pais, what they publish, and they publish before WikiLeaks.
Yeah, I think Niels Meltzer is absolutely right about Julian being tortured. The idea that he's got to be in some sort of high security prison is a total farce. Well, it would be comic if it wasn't so tragic. The basic fact is that he's being quite clearly persecuted for embarrassing the Western powers. Where do you think this case is going? You've obviously been following for such a long time now. What's your sense as to whether there is any kind of metal within the judicial system in the West that might allow him to go free?
I'll try and answer in three parts. One, and the last first, of course, you can always remember the last part first, I've found. It goes like this, that it's a political matter, but it's held in the forms must be followed, to quote Dune. The forms being followed are followed in the courts to give some sort of veneer of credibility to the actions against Julian Assange. That's one. The second is that the United Kingdom has demonstrated since the BBC was ruined under Blair's government, has demonstrated that it has no interest in the public being a participant in policy and strategy enactment. That is the United Kingdom policy. No interest whatsoever. What they have an interest in is deceiving and misleading. Next, it's the Julian's idea of transparency receives from the United Kingdom establishment and their representatives in the judiciary vicious hatred manifested in a persecution of Julian and the ruination of The Guardian and the BBC. Where this case is going next, I don't know, but I do know this, that the solution to Julian's ceaseless persecution and torture and the intimidation and oppression of all of those in the news making and analyzing business, the oppression and intimidation and persecution will stop only from political activity. The persecution's already happened. It's past. There's 13 years of it. It's a horror to perceive. The intimidation and oppression of comment by analysts such as yourselves and many others is obvious. Because if you take, for example, the COVID-19, or if you take another example, the activities of the United Kingdom building bases in the Ukraine, there's no public discussion of moving the United Kingdom to a very tense relationship with a military superpower, Russia, has had no public discussion. So they risk the lives of the people of the United Kingdom for some arrangement they have with the United States, which we are not privy to and we don't vote upon, nor can we analyze without fear of a ceaseless 13-year prosecution and persecution. I just add that You know, I travel the world constantly. There are hundreds of thousands of people world over actively supporting Julian. In Germany alone, 29 cities have fortnightly vigils. The cost of the law persecution, the cost of the lawyers runs into millions of pounds. There are law firms in the United Kingdom, in Brussels for the EHCR, in Germany, in Spain for the UC Global prosecution and investigation, in Australia, in the United States, in France. And it is never will happen again that a single individual engaged in publishing can gather together that support in order to fight this prosecution and persecution of a publisher and a journalist. It'll never happen again.
You may be right. And, I just think the questions have got to be about the rigor of any kind of judicial system. If this case proceeds as we see it is proceeding in such an unjust fashion, as well as the mass media, that sounds like a pretty scary future with no reliable judicial system, a judicial system which is effectively run by organized crime in some fashion. And the same with the mass media, John. Surely this is almost unprecedented, isn't it?
I would think so. It brings to an end the joyous approach that we had in the 70s, where we felt that we could participate in the analysis of policy and participate in the formulation of policy. And the relationship between the great and magnificent civil artifacts in the late 20th century, the United Nations in 1948, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights in 1958, the Conventions of Asylum, and worldwide democratic participation in the formulation of policy and the examining of those policies that governments wanted to follow. It seems to be over, and the only way I imagine that will change is the tremendous vigor of the polity of us people placed before government, saying that this cannot proceed any further. Well, I note that that phenomenon is observable in the case of the mandates.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Look, with Julian specifically, it'd be good to hear about one or two, because, you know, not many celebrities have really put their head above the parapet at all. People who are well known, and maybe that's how they became celebrities, is by knowing what they could and couldn't talk about. But is there anyone that you'd like to pat on the back or point out as to the way that they have put their weight behind your campaign?
Well, just a few. I mean, the magnificent Roger Waters, for example, and the very, very beautiful Pamela. Pamela has a double blessing in that she's has a gift of beauty and is very brainy as well. Those two in what we call celebrities, but they're people of considerable achievement. Also, I'd like to mention President Lula and President Obrador of Mexico, sitting President of Mexico, President Dilma Rousseff, Cristina Kirchner, President of Argentina, and Prime Minister, I think it is, of Spain. There are many who it's invidious to, you know, mention a few names, because there are in the political class many, many who support Julian. Over the last, of course, 12 months, the tensions between the United States, NATO, and Russia, and the tensions and querying of the actuality of COVID-19 have overtaken public concerns. But underlying that is always the understanding that the prosecution of Julian Assange reflects the fact that we are constrained by government into the amount of information we can receive.
Well, look, I mean, it's actually people like the BBC that are doing that. And the reason I like pointing out these heroes like Pamela Anderson and Roger Waters is anything to do with Julian in a normal way, certainly the way I was taught to do journalism, one of these well-known characters, it's obligatory to wheel them out on the television whenever there's something to say about Julian Assange. But no, not in Julian's case. What we get is some stuffy old lawyer that supports the government.
Yes, you know, the ruination of BBC commentary is certainly very, very distressing. It had such a good reputation in certain regards up until, of course, the Blair government and the destruction of Iraq. But another example is that there seems to be only the British Medical Journal last week published a direct request. Now, the British Medical Journal, as you know, is foremost, along with Lancet and the New England Medical Journal in the United States. They're the front. You know, they're the people who have built considerable cachet and authority over these. So the British Medical Journal writes that we don't know what's in the injections. It's secret. The government doesn't know. This is a bit of a scandal, I would say. And so organizations, publishing organizations that are free enough, that are independent enough to grab hold of such a thing and run with it. And this is not to say that the injections are either bad or good. It's to say that the flow of information towards us doesn't allow us to have analysis of if they're good or bad. And I use that as an iconic reference to the failure, failure is a cruel word, to the intimidation and oppression and constriction of information flow. The great poet Percy Blythe Shelley pointed out to us clearly in his poem Prometheus Unbound is that knowledge brings freedom. There can be no other road to freedom other than knowledge. One deludes oneself if one can think that can walk out the door and somehow or other the singing of the birds and the humming of the bees and the rustling of the leaves will give you knowledge into what the circumstances of your government or the medical fraternity or the policy enactment. We need knowledge, and that's brought to us by people like yourself and WikiLeaks and so on.
So for those who are concerned about this and not yet sort of following, whereabouts are good contact points for campaigning on Julian's behalf?
Well, in Australia, it's the AssangeCampaign.org. That's us here, that's me and Gabrielle. In the United Kingdom, it's DEA.org, Don't Extradite Assange. And of course, there are lots of, in every major city in the United Kingdom, there's an Assange group that could do with numerical assistance.
Okay, John Shipton, Julian's dad, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony.